Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into today's episode of the Top Cut Yu-Gi-Oh! Podcast. My name is Sonny. I am your host. I'm here with my co-hosts, Big Bird and Snake Guy. I don't know. I don't have a name.
Snake Guy?
Of all the things you could associate me with, you choose snakes?
No, my guy is your solid snake. Well, we're giving you the buff.
I was trying, okay? I tried to get there.
Big Bird, I think, is pretty accurate. I am big and I am a bird. It's a one-to-one there. Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
I think Sonny got me confused with my Twitch mods.
I was going for Dragon of the Ice Barrier, but I ended up with Sea Serpent of the Ice Barrier, which is Bryonic, not Trishula. In my own ADD mind, we got there. All right, so a huge thank you, of course, to all of our sponsors, which I actually wrote out for once. It's Steel Fox Games and ETB Games, of course, my locals, for their continued support of the podcast, even though Skyhawk manages to forget them when I'm not here. Of course, we also want to thank Gem Accessories, as well as Tier Zero Games, Grimoire Accessories, and, of course, Chainlink TCG. As well as, we also want to shout out TCG Player and Dragon Shield. So all of those, we either have affiliate links or discount codes for down below. I very much recommend Tier Zero Games. It has been honestly our biggest performing one. They mainly pay for stuff on the channel along with our Patreons. And if you don't have Patreon, you can check us out there in the link down below. If you want, you can get an extra episode every single week. Although I will say, if you get... if you're ordering stuff to play the Fire King deck, not just the structures, but the cards themselves, if you go through the Tier Zero link, then anything over $65 is free shipping international.
When I want to buy the entire Sinful Spoils package.
Exactly.
That stuff is very expensive.
It's gotten very expensive.
Also, if you want to go above and beyond, if you want to try something not Sinful Spoil, if you don't want to go above and beyond, you could get the Fire King stuff and also a Dogmatica package. Mm-hmm. And Punishment just got a Quarter Century Secret Rare and all that. So if you want to order that stuff, you can do that too.
That's true. Man, the Sinful Spoils.
Or Starlight Ecclesias. If you want to buy Starlight Ecclesias using our code, you can do that.
No!
So expensive, dude.
My microphone is, I'm paying the price for my speaking stupid into the world. My microphone came off the thing. Anyway, so thank you to all of our sponsors and all of our patrons. Today's content is, of course, the one and only, we have a winner in our midst. We have a champion of sorts. That's Josh Schmidt, not you, Trish. Why are you waving? So... We are going to talk multiple things. Of course, Josh Schmidt just won YCS Bologna, Italy, with some weird runic dragon thing. And of course, Mike Trish, you, the one and only, you did very well this weekend in the MCS. Was it an invitational or?
Yeah, it was an invitational. So I was the first loser.
First loser.
By getting top 16 in like an actual MCS.
Yeah. So
sweet.
You posted a video about this, so go to Trish's YouTube and watch his video. But when we were recording on Thursday for the episode, I brought up Ringo Worm as like a thing that people were experimenting with. And you were like, yeah, I mean, people have played it. I mean, like, it's not like. And then I see you pull up with the 60 card list playing Ringo, and I'm like, oh, okay. He's got the
sauce. So what inspired funny the pile, story? Funny story. We were talking about it. And I was like, yeah, it's not that good. And then I hung up with you and I remembered, wait a second.
It is good.
It was good when Chaos Ruler was legal, but then they banned it in the TCG. And I was like, didn't I like theory craft this deck a year ago? I go back through my YouTube and it's like, yeah, I posted a video about this a year ago. And I messaged Tempest at like 3 a.m. I was like, hey, should I play the Apple deck? And we passed back and forth a few deck lists to each other because, you know, we're just saying they're theorying. And we start like testing a little bit and then we get busy and it's like, should I queue with it? I haven't really played it enough. I don't know if it's good. And we literally just said, you know what? We're just gonna play with it.
We ball.
Yeah, literally we ball and we're teaming together for the DC Cup Stage 2. Which, if you don't know, is how you can qualify for the World Championship through Master Duel. Yep. And Tempest already has accumulated some championship points. I think we're like 4th in the global leaderboard right now. So we're like, if this deck is actually good, like, do we queue this for DC Cup? And it's like, okay, we'll test it in MCS. And then I got 2nd place, and I was like, okay, it might be worth playing for DC Cup now.
It might be pretty good, too. And the field was, like, kind of wild, too, because that field had, like, a lot of Dimension Shifter. There were a lot of people playing, like, cash again, at least in Swiss, although it didn't really convert to top.
Yeah.
So it seemed to weave its way pretty well, despite all of the, like, anti-meta stuff happening in the Invitational.
Yeah, so that was actually, like, why I played the list that I did, is that, like, and we were trying to figure out, well, how do we beat all the like stuff that like people are playing for us. And it's like, well, the adventure cards kind of just do that. Like, you get shifted, okay, Omni Negate, here you go, pass. Droll, Omni Negate, pass. You get There Can Only Be One, Draco Back, bounce.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, okay, like, we'll try it. And it was good.
And 60, you get to hide some of the bricks. It turns Foolish Burial into whatever you want in your deck.
Yeah.
So, I mean, $1,000 is pretty sick. Like I said earlier on stream, go watch if you want a super good showcase of Trish's Dragon Link gameplay. The top 4 match is incredible, and then the finals is also funny. But Prage for our good friend after game one, because that was the ghost bell was the worst part about that. I think just
the worst part was checking the replay and seeing that he top deck circular, and I was like, oh.
So, do you think that there's any changes that you would make to the list? Because you said you didn't go into it with like a bunch of testing and stuff like that. Like, do you think that there's a little optimizations here and there that are worth making and something like that?
Yeah, Tempest and I have already changed a few stuff, but it's not stuff I want to talk about until after DC Cup, because that is our world's ticket.
No, fair, but you're saying that there are changes worth making.
There is some stuff that we're changing, but I think the list that I queued with is still really, really good. I like, none of the changes are really like major. It's just like little stuff here and there.
My lips are sealed, and this is the key. Cool.
Yeah. Do you think that that's overall that the Ringo Worm list is solid enough to play at not just so like an Invitational, if I'm not mistaken, it was kind of a smaller event, right? Where you have just a few players, and a lot of times people in an event like that will try to play something with a much, much higher ceiling because you don't need to go as many rounds deep. Whereas something where maybe you're grinding on a ladder or something like that, maybe something that's not as, you know, over the top, you know, less over the top, but more consistency. You know what I mean?
You can build the top and you can build to win. That's where that.
Yeah, well, it, exactly.
Yeah.
That
conversation. Yeah. Yeah. I guess that's true. I guess what I think of when I think of this is when you think about, I remember hearing somebody talk about it. I don't know if it was Hoban or Fraser Smith or Joe Girolando. Somebody would talk about when they used to have the YCSs that had draft in Top Cut. The players would play very different decks that would go more over the top, that were lower consistency decks, because they felt like they didn't need to go 18 rounds with the deck. They only needed to go 10 or whatever, you know, whatever the numbers are.
You roll the dice a little bit on that, though. Like, if you look at, right. So this is a decent transition into talking about the YCS, because Tier is a deck that kind of does exactly that right now. It's so high roll that you, like, a good tier player will top with it, but I feel like it's very difficult to go the distance, because, like, there are going to be games where you mill 10 cards and none of them do anything, and you get,
yeah,
like, so it's, and you're going to win a lot of games that you might otherwise not, because you hit everything. So it's tough to do that balance. It depends on if you feel like you have to gamble, like in a battle pack environment, maybe the power is so low that you just try to go all the way up because you can set cards for a couple turns for a while. But in the modern game, I think it's harder to have that mentality.
Yeah, I actually remember that conversation being kind of opposite of what you were saying, Sonny, where instead of building like decks that were like really powerful that they needed to like do well in like Top Cut, they would build decks that were just kind of like really average, that they were like, yeah, I'm pretty confident I can like go X2 in like 11 rounds with. And because like once you make it to Top Cut back then, you just throw your deck out. Like, your deck just didn't matter right. anymore. So they would just play to top rather than to win. Whereas, like, so the cool thing with, like, the invitationals, right? Like, the MCS invitationals, everybody who's playing in that tournament is good because they've all, like, cleared a qualifying stage, which was, like, not sure. an easy qualifying stage. So you know when you're playing into those type of tournaments, you're going to play nothing but meta. You're not really going to play anything too weird. And you're going to play people who know what they're doing with those meta decks. So I think in those kind of scenarios, it's better to bring decks that like maybe have some type of a quirk to it that people aren't like really prepared for. Like, for example, the branded player I played in top 8, TTK, who is another very well-decorated MCS player. He played Branded Despia with one of the branded traps that like nobody ever plays. It's like, if you control a branded monster, like a fusion that mentions Albaz, negate all cards on the field. It didn't catch me by too much surprise, because I've seen a few people on Master Duel Ladder play that, but like it was one of those cards where it's like, that could have been a huge blowout, and I could definitely see it stealing him wins. Because nobody expects cards like that. And that was kind of the idea with like the adventure and Apple stuff. When me and Tempest were talking, is like, no one's going to have prep for like a Dragon Link player slamming Rite of Aramisa as the fourth card they play in their turn. So I can play out normally, you know, like I can play out my hand normally. They're going to interact with me however they want. Yeah. And it's like, oh, okay, I'm going to activate Rite of Aramisa, and Aramisa is just a free Baron from your hand. So it's like, you know, so many people are like, oh my God, like, why is that there?
It's crazy that it's crazy that Black Metal Dragon and any of the Rockets work so well for that. Like, Black Metal Dragon being like, is maybe one of the most crazy value, like, aside from like a Prank Kids monster for the Adventure Engine. Plus, if it's a Rocket, you just normal Rocket, Striker Dragon, Boot Sector, add it back, and then you special summon Tracer back, so then you're not under the restriction for Rite of Aramisa anymore. Like, it just, it slots in so nicely. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah. That was exactly the theory. And then the cool thing with the Apple Dragon is like, you know, like the first thought with Apple Dragon is like, oh, you know, non effect monster, it summons itself, I get it. But like, that wasn't really the thought with it. The thought was just that you can go Chaos Ruler and mill it, and then you've already synchro summoned because you summoned the Chaos Ruler and you milled it. So now you just have Dispatter for free.
Yep.
So it just lets you summon Chaos Ruler for free all the time.
So awesome. I do want to remind everybody to keep an eye out for the Master Duel DC Cup. Is that what it is?
Yeah, stage 1 is going on right now, and that's the qualifying stage.
Okay, so stage one is happening right now. When does that end?
So stage one ends at the same time as the whole DC Cup, but you don't want to be qualifying for stage two while stage two is going on, because stage two is, it's like a ladder race where you're gaining Elo every time you win a game.
Sure.
And whoever gets like the most points overall at the top of the 72-hour period gets to go to Worlds, and like top 100 get like points towards going to Worlds. So you really want to make sure that like the minute that DC Cup opens, that you are playing stage two and grinding for the next 72 hours straight.
Yeah. The upside to this over how it has been before is that you have three people on a team who can play. So like there might be time to take breaks, but the downside is that if you have three people that are going nonstop, could end up being a lot of points. So that's I'm not gonna say who, just because I don't want to like open invitation. There are some people who are looking for one. Message me, be like, hey, do you want to do this? I just looked at it, I was like, no. I wish you the best of luck on the world's grind. Hopefully we'll see you on stage. But
I haven't gotten a single message. No worries here.
I can't do that. I can't do that. I was looking at it, I was like, nah, man, I'm not booking a day off. But I wish you the best of luck on the grind.
Thank you.
Okay, so
thank you.
I guess we should probably talk about the YCS now. Yeah,
That is a wonderful time for me to do the transition I was about to do. So, with that said, be sure to check out Trish's streams as he grinds the Master Duel Duelist Cup. And with that,
next weekend, by the way.
It's what?
Stage two starts next weekend. We didn't mention when it starts.
Yeah.
Okay, so it starts, what, probably December 15th?
14th or 15th, yeah. It might start on Thursday.
Hold on.
It's somewhere in there. It's weird.
14th at...
midnight, I think.
Yeah, sometime.
Right? So it's like the evening of Thursday, I think.
Yeah, it's sometime before midnight, I think, depending on your
Twitch.tv/TrishLatiTV for all of your Duelist Cup needs. So with that, let's go ahead and talk about the next thing, which is YCS Bologna. So YCS Bologna, Italy, took place this past weekend, December 9th and 10th, and of course we have the results from the tournament. We have 2,418 duelists. We do want to give a huge congratulations to Josh Schmidt, who won the tournament with Runic Bestial. Yep, I said it, Runic Bestial. That is wild to me. That makes no sense at all.
The deck is playing some nasty cards.
The weirder thing to me is the sheer amount of... Yeah. the weirder part to me is the sheer amount of Labyrinth in Top Cut. Mm. Like there's a lot of Labyrinth here.
I have the answer to your question.
We're definitely going to get into that.
Yeah.
You have the answer to my question on how we got so much Labyrinth here?
I do have the answer to your question. It's one of these, this format is so cool just because they're so, I think as like a competitive player trying to prepare for it, it sucks. But as somebody who like is looking at the whole picture, it's really sick. So Labyrinth for the last chunk of time, people have considered to be kind of bad, or at least like you can top an event with it, but it's not like maybe even in like, the top like six decks or so, maybe fell off to seven or eight. I think part of the reason that it's coming back is because a lot of lists are on a lot of hand traps. A lot of people are not playing Ghost Bell. There was a little bit of it coming back this event, but there's not a lot. And when your opponent is playing like Imperm, Veiler, Nibiru, and I mean, everybody's playing, a lot of people are playing Ash right now, but and that hurts Lab, obviously. But when people are in like a wide hand trap format and you have to be good against a lot of matchups, Labyrinth is like, okay, yeah, so your hand traps aren't really going to do anything. What, you're going to Veiler my Ariana? Cool, set three. I got furniture on furniture on furniture. And a lot of back removal.
And this is why I missed Red Reboot.
No. We can't do this.
Please bring it back. Bring back Reboot.
Please. Reboot the three.
But
no more trap decks, please.
Yeah, so...
Never again. Get rid of them all.
I sent Top 64 into the chat if you want to look at it, so... Top 64 most represented. Yeah. Diabellstar Rescue Ace puts itself back on
top after. Well, so far from what we know, there's a lot of decks missing.
No, this
there was a dragon link that topped. Let's go.
I sent you
one dragon. Yeah, it won the event.
No, that was Bestial Runic.
That was Bestial Runic.
Okay, yeah, so
there was one Bestial dragon link that also won. That also topped.
Yep.
So what is exactly the game plan and the goal with Bestial Runic?
So
Synchro Summon.
Synchro Summon, yes, correct. That is it, exactly. But it's actually, it plays like it's a controlled deck, really. The Bestials are obviously good in the matchups that the Bestials are in, but really they're just a big bodies to generate value from. Yeah. The whole goal of the list is Lubellian Place regained, summon a bunch of Bestials to make synchro plays into Baron Chaos Angel or set up Baron SP with the runic spells to generate advantage and to control the game as well. The other piece, there's a small branded engine in this deck. I don't know if you could really call it a branded engine. So you're playing...
like a Quem engine.
Yeah, so you're playing 3 Quem, 1 Cartesia, and then 1 the Bestial Aluber.
Yeah.
Because it's a tuner Bestial that you can summon back off of Regained, I think is the reason.
Got it.
So some other cool things that Josh is playing in the deck. Duality, which has not really found a home, except Runic, I think.
Okay, as an old person, you said he's playing Duality, and my first thought is, what? He's playing Pot of Duality?
No, so...
okay.
Duality, this is the quick play spell. I hope you bought your copies, because they're going to be expensive now. But There's a ton of like really sick targets for it. So one of the funniest ones, there's a level 2 tuner non-effect fusion. I think it's Alerafon that you can use to summon off of your.
Do you know if you played Ready Fusion?
No, he didn't play Ready Fusion. I think it was just Duality.
Okay.
I don't think the list is public yet. I didn't see Ready Fusion.
For people who don't know the name of the card, you'll probably still know the card. Yeah. It is the like one Ready Fusion target that anybody has like played.
That are you telling me that we're not playing the best card of 2017, Sea Monster of Theseus, off of?
You know what? I forgot about that card. That card is also the other good Ready Fusion target. That card is so good.
A couple shout outs to shout outs to Marvelous, I guess. But the reason that the other cards that you can flex into off of Duality, it actually won him top 4, I think it was. He is playing the Fabled Unicorn as a card to summon off of Gary, because Runic is a deck that could control its hand size very easily. So what he did with it, and Fabled Unicorn, if you don't know, it's level 4 synchro. Negate the activation of any of your opponent's card effects if your hand size is the same. So if they activate another card, you just chain a runic spell, then your hand size is the same, and it will negate anything that is resolving. So it's like he basically put the lab. I think it was Juhu actually put him on 0 cards in hand, and then went Fabled Unicorn, so that no matter what Juhu drew, it was getting negated because Josh had no cards in hand. So it was really sick. There's a couple of other cool targets for it, but it's just a really sick. Absolutely wild teched out list, and he even talked about on stream like, I just brought this for fun, it's such a wide format, I didn't want to solve it, so I just brought something that I liked, and he just walked into a YCS win with it. So silly. Top 8.
Well, it's a good thing then that some people are simply better. I had a chatter ask a great question.
Okay, I'm listening.
Who is on the Mount Rushmore of Yu-Gi-Oh? And at this point, is Josh Schmidt there?
I think Josh Schmidt has been there for years.
He's been there for a while. I think the question is, the bigger question is if he's the GOAT or not. That's the, I guess, the debate.
He's the world champion too, right?
He has a world
champion. 4 YCS wins, world champ.
I think this is his 5th YCS win.
No, it's 4. No, it's his 4th.
Oh, didn't he get another one this year though?
No.
No.
I think he made finals.
Yeah, he's made finals a lot too. Like,
okay,
not counting wins, he's made finals quite a few times too.
Yeah, I think the debate.
Yeah, but I mean, for me, like when I think of people that are on the Mount Rushmore, I guess Schmidt is definitely up there. But my first thought is Jesse Cotton, Patrick Hoban, Billy Brake.
I think
I even think like Adam Korn. You know,
I think both I think both Jesse and Josh have surpassed, I think, almost anybody else's achievements in the game at this point.
Like, really?
Just about, yeah.
Maybe I'm a zoomer. I wasn't around for the heyday of Jeff Jones.
I mean, Billy Break. I think
Jeff Jones also.
Yeah, Jeff, Hoban, and Billy all like deserve their spot because what they did for the game is they kind of like Hoban especially brought us into the modern era with theory because like if you played 10 years ago, Yu-Gi-Oh! Players were not the fiends that they are today. Like,
correct.
Like,
yeah, no, like, Hoban
look
literally
at some deck lists from back then and you will understand immediately.
Hoban literally, he basically built the entire theory of Yu-Gi-Oh! From the ground up.
I mean, if you think
like
about
modern Yu-Gi-Oh! Deck
modern theory.
Built.
I mean, look at what's happened to Edison, right? Like,
yeah,
obviously, like, now that there are more people, more skilled people labbing it out, the format looks so much different. This is a format that I think could end up like that if people continue to play it.
100%.
Just because there's so many things. Like, so Diabelle Star Rescue Ace tier, lab unchanged, not very shocking. 4 Diabelle Star Fire King and 4 Centurion. I don't think people were expecting Centurion to do that well at all. I think people were expecting it to maybe like 1 or 2. And Fire King being this good before Phantom Nightmare is a little bit spooky because they get so much better once we get the little tiny level 1 dude. There's somebody topped playing Vanquish Soul with the Horus engine. Like, we're just drawing cards, I guess. I don't know what the game plan is. 2 Diabelle Star Makanko. I think this is like definitive proof that we probably have to respect this as like a real deck. Finals of an YCS, or it won a South American YCS, and now it's like topping every event now. Pack as the lone noble knight representative, top 8. Somebody topped with
I got top 8 at this event with noble knight.
Yes, somebody.
That's I did not even realize that.
Yeah, somebody topped with Marincis.
Oh no!
The deck never dies.
Top 8 was absolutely stacked, by the way. So, like, Joshua Schmidt, Anthony Lopez, who made the finals of YCS Leon, Victor Ivanov, who I believe is the Bulgarian national champion from this year, so no slouch, Din Kabui and Pak, who need no introduction, Gabe Netz needs no introduction, Juhu An, also no introduction, was at Worlds this year, far from on forever, and has been on, like, I think has topped, like, almost every event he has entered.
Like... Well, you gave him
that kid anyway. Is cracked.
He doesn't need one.
He's crazy.
Somebody in my chat asked if Josh was the only non-NA player on the Mount Rushmore, and oh my god, no! Like, European players are like terrifying.
Yeah,
yeah.
They're so good.
It's a meme that European players are not as good, but I don't really think that's true at all. They have like,
oh my god,
they have to tear their way through much bigger events too. Like, most of the time their YCSs are bigger. Anybody who makes it through that gauntlet is insane. Like, I feel like a YCS in NA is almost always like 11 rounds or less, and the EU ones are like 12 always.
Yeah, not only that too, but I feel like the European players, I think they play better decks on average too, because like, and like, you also have language barriers you have to play through.
Yes.
And like, oh my god,
yeah, somebody in the Discord, the Necrofusion enthusiast, asked a ruling question the other day, and I was like, I need to go ask how to deal with this. They were like, if I have do I have to have a translation in the language of the country that I'm playing in, and how does that work in Europe? Because in Canada that's easy because you just have to have an English and a French translation, but because those are the two like languages that you could speak. But like, if I go to play a YCS in Italy, do I need to have like French, German? This problem is mostly solved by Neuron, so we don't have to like print out the sheets anymore or have like copies of cards. But
yeah. It's like,
there's definitely,
I think the rule was English was the common translation.
I think it was the default. I'd have to double
check. But because I think like most European countries learn it as a second language, so like the thought was that everybody should at least have some English language knowledge.
That's yeah. Although I will say, when I went to YCS London, it was crazy. I remember being with Nash on the way from the airport to the venue and Skyhawk too, and Nash was saying this, he was like, it's because Nash speaks like 6 languages, so for him it was crazy because he was like, he's like, dude, he's like, just from the airport up the subway to our place, which is like a 40-minute subway ride. He was like, it's crazy. Like, I've heard like 10 different languages. He's like, I just don't hear that in the United States. He's like, I've picked out Portuguese, German, Spanish, French, Arabic, Italian. Like, I'm like, oh.
Okay.
So
some more specific stuff in the format that is starting to get more popular. Seeing a lot more Phantasmate in the side deck, especially as SP yep. Little Knight is getting a lot better.
I was gonna say, this is something that was coming up a lot in the OCG specifically, is that Phantasmate was seeing a lot more play because of the rise of SP.
Well, Phantasmate both stops the targeting effect of SP and lets you fix your hand when it gets summoned. So it's like a really good check to it. It's also good against like Unchained if they play into it. So like if they make their Link monster before they make the Caesar, Phantasmate is pretty good because it stops the targeting of the Link monster or the escape if you want to. It's decent. Like almost every deck is wanting to make an SP, the Phantasmate gets a lot better. You can play around it a bit with some decks, but I think for like the higher level decks, if the Rescue Ace players are doing the Terahertz line, it's not terrible against Infernoble because they're always making a sold, so you can always get that off to dig for board breakers. And it's pretty rare that like they can't rip it with Aqua Dolphin either, which matters for a big thing. So it's there. Another thing that people are starting to side is Gizmek Uka has made its way
into
side decks. If you do not remember Gizmek Uka, is from format long past, back when Helcofyrex was the thing we used to be hitting with.
Yeah.
But now we are siding Barrier Statue of the Infernos along with Barrier Statue of the Heavens. So
we also words.
It's that happened to me. That happened to me not too long ago, and like somebody dropped a barrier now. Statue on me, and I hadn't like pieced together that people were playing the Uka stuff yet, because like I had like thought about it, I talked about it with some people, but I didn't think that like it was happening, right? And somebody summoned a barrier statue on me. I'm like, why are you playing a barrier statue in that? And I like punch over it, and then it dawns on me, I'm like, oh my god, they're playing the Gizmek Uka, like, oh my god. And then I see it later in the game, and it's like, oh my god, it makes so much sense now.
You remember what I was wanting to say? Somebody talked about Josh Schmidt being the only EU player in your chat, which you mentioned, and it made me think about South American and Central American players, and it made me think about Andres Torres also being a player that would be in consideration as being one of those Mount Rushmore type players. So, you know, other territories definitely should be respected in that sense. Where do we see the format going from here? Because do we just see any fire deck that can play the Sinful Spoils package just being the best deck?
I mean,
because that's how it feels right now. It feels almost like where we were at early last year, right after the Adventure Engine came out, where it felt like every deck, even if it was its own deck, was either also playing the Adventure Engine or a way to do Scythelock /DPE. And so it feels like you have all these decks, but they're all playing one of these two or three supplemental engines as well, which is frequently a thing, but now it's like really a thing, if that makes sense.
Is SP Little Knight Linkaribo an engine? The comment in the chat. We reached.
It's a great question.
Is it an engine requirement now? I mean, for Infernoble, it is, I guess, because you need a warrior.
I don't think it's engine necessarily in the same way that's like, would you consider the Nightmares, Nightmares in your deck engine? I don't think it is. It's just a generic power staple extra deck card that we've had for years.
It's weird. So I don't know. The TCG format is going to be kind of wonky because we still don't know where stuff like Fire King and Centurion are going to land. Are people going to have to prepare more for it? People are going to be preparing a lot more for Lab now, so I think that's going to fall off. We might see more people play stuff like Bell to have Ash Bell for that matchup, especially because it's the furniture build that is good. Although the Lab players, I don't think any of them were on the Floodgate build. I think everybody has decided that furniture is the way to go now.
I don't know if that's true because I saw somebody's Twitter post. I think I think it was Pac who said that his opponent set Solemn Strike and revealed the Heavenly Lord against him, which that to me sounds like the heavy trap build.
That would be the flip build for sure if we're playing that. Because Christian Arena played the... maybe Dinka was playing the Floodgate one. I don't think we have his list yet. Because Christian was playing the Furniture build. Juhu was playing the Furniture build. So it must have been Dinka, because Pac lost in top 8, right? I think that's where he lost. Yeah, lost in top 8 to Bologna. 2-1 against Unchained Lab.
So it's possible that it was post-side, though. Because I think that's true. Ryan citing that stuff and his nationals list.
Yeah.
It
looks like it's like so like if I look at the top 8 list from Gabe Nets, that's got the only like non Labyrinth traps in the main deck is Karma Cannon and Imphip. But in the side deck we have the one copy of Eradicator, the one DDG, and the one Barrier. So it looks like people are like main decking their one like blowout trap card of choice and then siding the other targets for different matchups. But I think some people are maining too. Like I know there are some people maining the D barrier and some people maining the Eradicator. But I'm curious about the Lord list though. I hope we get that because it's been so funny seeing them like weave back and forth. I would like to activate Skill Drain actually. No. We're not it's DDG time. I don't know. What do you think? You probably played against enough of it in Master Duel.
I don't know how to feel with Lab. I think Furniture is like the more quote-unquote skillful way to play it, but I think there's a time and a place for Furniture. I'm not really like a Labyrinth player, you know what I mean? So like I wouldn't be able to be the one to tell you which format to pick. That's more of like a Ryan Yu question.
True.
But I do think it like makes sense that the trap cards are like coming back into the game, because like what you were saying is everybody's playing hand traps right now and Lab just kind of doesn't care. Another thing too is that a lot of people aren't playing decks like Dragonlink, which previously was the deck that Labyrinth was like saying, okay, I beat every deck in the format except for dragons. If I queue dragons, the run's over. And because Dragon isn't very popular, I mean, we had one Dragon Link in Top Cut and then Bestial Runic, you know, they're probably just having a field day with people just like not having Bestials for them because the Bestials just destroy Labyrinth.
Yeah. Not a lot of combo, which is basically what you're saying. The only like hard combo decks we have in Top Cut are Bestial Dragon
Infernoble,
Link,
I think.
Diabellster Infernoble, and then the one Rekka player that topped as well. Tier, I guess.
Well, I wouldn't even call Bestial Dragon Link a combo deck right now. I think it's like very heavy mid range with all the hits in the TCG.
Mid range. Oh, that's true. I'm too busy thinking.
Yeah, we're still Master Duel Brain from you know the other day.
I don't know, Sunny. You've been kind of quiet for a bit. What do you think about the format? What are your where do you think it's going?
Sorry, I've been begging Trish. Trish,
yeah, he's been begging my Twitch chat for subs. and getting banned for asking for subs in my Twitch chat when he should be paying attention to the podcast.
I subbed using my Twitch Prime, which is free for everybody that has Twitch or that has Amazon Prime. He has a sub now. I used my Prime sub and immediately got banned.
Well, I didn't get a notification for it. So
yeah, the second I used my Prime sub, I got banned. So listen, as far as where the format's at, I don't know because I haven't played in 6 months. But if I were to say, I would say that it's kind of like I said earlier, where it's kind of weird seeing every deck play one of the same couple of engines. I don't know how I feel about it because I hated it with the Adventure engine and I hated it with the DPE package. But at the same time, it for some reason right now it doesn't feel as cringe as it did then.
I think I can tell you why that is. So
why?
Part of the problem with the let's say with like Adventure Engine DPE format, right, is that people were not doing anything like different with those engines. Like maybe you would do some cool synchros. Like your two options for the adventure stuff were like I'm normal summoning Red Rose Dragon or I'm using it to set up a Griffin to gate.
And at first it wasn't even they didn't have that. Yeah. That took 4 months to come about.
And for DP, it was like I got hand trapped into Oblivion or Scythe. With the Snake Eye engine, people can do different things with the cards. If your deck has something native that you can summon out of it, like with Rescue Ace, you're using it to actually make your Rescue Ace plays. And then if you want to, you can do the Ricardetto line to make a different board, or you can go get Jet Synchron if you want to be crazy. There's people doing stuff with Evol because they can summon Mega Trevelia from deck. The Snake Eye engine can be used generically but in different ways because you have different targets you can summon, unlike what the other cards are doing. The Horus engine is kind of the same way. You can access any of the rank 8 pool that happens to work for your deck. Maybe you want Sandafond, Hope Harbinger, Zombie Vampire if you're trying to milk cards, Giant Trainer if you want to draw a bunch of cards. The engines are in every deck, but the goal of every deck with those engines is very different, and that wasn't the case with the other two, is my take on it anyway. Maybe that's why people are going to get real sick of the Bailstar engine come Phantom Nightmare, but right now we're in a cool spot.
I think the reason that people haven't gotten sick of it yet but will is because while it is very expensive at the moment, it hasn't felt like it's, okay, this shouldn't be this expensive anymore. Like, it still feels new enough where it deserves to be expensive, if that makes sense.
I know.
You're a Yu-Gi-Oh card communist. I get it, but...
All cards should be free, Pokemon Master Duel.
True. Yeah. True and real. I mean, listen, yeah. You just make more accounts.
Hey, don't tell them the secret. But if you do want to know the secrets, I have a full guide on how to speedrun the game so that you can create any account you want in less than 35 minutes. So let you know.
Trishula TTV on YouTube.
Join the Discord. There's a whole guide.
So with that said, I think that it doesn't feel outrageous yet. But come reprint season next year, it's been six plus months, deck, you know, the package is still in every deck, it hasn't been hit yet, it hasn't been reprinted yet, that's when people are gonna be like, yeah, this sucks, we hate this, you know. Yeah. I think once you get to that 6 month mark without any changes, it's, and things start getting stale, is when people are gonna start hating it. But for now, we're still in the cool stage.
Yeah, it's funny. Normally, I'm like, where's the ban list? But I think we could wait another month. I don't think we need one. I would love, as always.
Yeah, I mean, it's only been 2 months. We don't need one right now.
I would love, as always, for the crappy auto wins to be gone from the format. There are a couple of things that I would like to be hit. But Trish, you move close to the mic. What do you have to say about the ban list?
I hate this format. This format allows runic cards to be stronger than they ought to be. I have lost to runic on the bubble at 3 YCSs this year. Please stop making formats where runic cards can find success. Thank you, Konami.
At least we have this.
Please bring back all the Ishizu cards. Thank you.
The only runic deck to top took it all the way. And I mean, to be fair, Joshua Schmidt is the GOAT. But I was actually going to bring up the two things that...
Well, did you see Runic sweep the Seattle Regional? There was like 3 Runic decks in top 8. Like, it got first place and like more of them topped. And it was all Runic stun.
I did see that. They got first and third. It was the Chicago Regional, right?
I'm talking about Seattle. Did that happen in Chicago too?
There was another region. I might be talking about the same regional, but they got first and third. It was Runic stun. It was, they were playing like 2 Amano Owado, and then 2 of the time-tearing Morganite. They were playing Messenger of Peace instead of Scrubbed Raid.
I think that was Seattle. But Runic has actually, like, if you go and you look through a lot of top cuts, Runic has been destroying the regional circuit. Yep. Yeah, like the regional circuit is getting completely swept by it. Like, and like at Richmond, I got knocked out by Runic, like, and I had a Torrential Tribute flipped on me. And like in any other format, like, you play against Runic and they're flipping Torrential Tribute, it's like, okay, it's round 3, like, I'm knocking you out early and like getting lunch. But when that starts happening to you at like round 9 of a YCS, something is clearly going wrong with the format when Torrential Tribute Runic is doing well.
Yeah, so I guess my last comment on the YCS results too is it's kind of weird to not see much Runic, seeing as it's like very successful at the regional level, but like that could just be an NA EU meta difference. Because I feel like it's I'm looking at a lot of NA regionals, right? So no sprite, it's gone. It's gone. We probably don't have to hit blue. I believe two of the pearly lists were playing a sprite engine, but okay. Centurion is the X factor thing that's here, I think, is because Centurion, I thought Centurion was going to be like Dark World, where you could always like open a hand that does the thing, you play it like Zodiac, but you just get shut down by so many different cards that it's hard to succeed with it. But the Calamity Lock, 4 out of 64 people were able to Calamity Lock enough turns to make it to top 64. So I'm curious.
Does the deck do something other than Calamity Lock? Did we miss something here? Are they doing something else?
So they're playing it like Zodiac instead of like a hard combo deck.
Yeah.
They're playing it like, this is my one card starter. I'm setting up the Calamity Lock. If I don't set up the Calamity Lock, or if I have an extender, then I can do like Crimson Dragon tag out shenanigans to end on. What they're doing is they're doing Blazar Dragon, and then they're Blazar for like a spell trap negate, and then bringing back the Crimson Dragon quick synchro to tag it back out into the Calamity, I think is how it's working right now. Which is funny that Blazar is seeing play, but the rest of it is just not an engine. It's just non-engine, it's hand traps, it's Fenrir, it's anything, it's Valor, Imprint, Ash, Nib.
So what are the issues? What needs hitting on the ban list? I know you mentioned Sprite's probably fine. Are we done with Runic? It's gotten a reprint now. Are we like...
Limit Fountain? What do you want, Trish?
Can we please ban Runic Fountain? Please.
Ban it? No, please. Absolutely not.
Runic
is fun. No.
Please just... No. Please just kill that deck. No. Please.
Nope,
no.
Runic is cool and fine.
No, okay. Please, hey, please, Sunny, please, no more.
This is the podcast where no more. Everybody's getting their wish list. Okay, so...
Please,
sure, no sure. His is wrong, please, but no sure.
Okay.
Please no more. You know what, Sunny? I'll give that to you. Just ban Munin. It's fine. Ban Munin.
I agree with that. I'm on board. We should ban Scattershot too, actually. And Cap.
If I get Munin one more time.
We should ban the time rules.
True.
Top Cut should go back to old time rules.
Actually, Top Cut going back.
Top to that, Cut doing it would be fine with me. Yeah.
Top Cut doing it would be fine. I think Swiss, we have to do the compromise thing. But
Just three turns of time, not five. Just make it three turns of time, not five, and then only for Top Cut. And then it'd be
why don't we do it only in top 32? Not even top 64, just top 32.
Maybe that depends on
who cares?
The size. Yeah.
Who cares?
Maybe. Yeah. I can get on board with that. I think.
Why don't we just bring back draft Top Cut? Why don't we do that? Reward good deck building.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
All right.
I think it's time to end the episode. Yeah. That's too much. Yeah. That's too far.
Trisha's taking it back. Fountain to zero.
Can we say Crimson Dragon banned? Is that too much?
That's too much.
No, I think I just banned Calamity. None of the other Crimson Dragon cards are a problem. I think Calamity's...
It's just Calamity?
It's just High King Calamity. So,
makes sense.
Ban High King Calamity, ban Dimension Shifter, ban Dimensional Barrier. I do not care about anything else.
Time Warp on a 4K.
Did you say ban Dimensional Barrier?
Yeah, I want D Barrier ban.
Yeah, that card should be gone. That card should have been gone for years.
It's like, right now, it's not a problem.
If we don't have Red Reboot, D Barrier should be banned.
Yeah, I think the...
I know you guys are not losing to D Barrier.
I also want...
There's no answer. It doesn't exist.
So I also want...
We don't have...
The answer is... Don't lose to it.
I think the other card that I want banned is Harpy's Featherstorm for a similar reason. Like D-Barrier right now is not debilitating. Harpy's Featherstorm is only playable in like one deck. My issue is that there's not a reasonable counterplay present for those cards. The counterplay that you can play for D-Barrier is draw a better hand, Bozo. And then for Featherstorm, the only counterplay that exists is Siphon Gear Delta, which is insane cope. And Crossout Designator, which is now asking you to side individual targets similar to how you would thrust. And I think that that's really silly. It's less that the cards are like extremely powerful now, although I would argue there are formats where D-Barrier was pretty debilitating. A Sword Soul branded format, D-Barrier was just like, you lose if you were playing one of the top two decks. But like Eradicator, I would, in an ideal world, I would like to see it banned. I don't think it's a huge problem right now. It can stay. I just, Shifter and Barrier are the two that I think we should just like axe completely from the game.
Featherstorm, much like Mystic Mind, the game would be invariably better without those cards in it.
Yeah, I think the continuous trap floodgates I go back and forth on, because on one hand they suck to play against and to prep against, but there's at least way more counterplay to those in the form of back removal or being able to use your extra deck to play under attributes like with something like Nightmare Phoenix and SP now, or playing out of your graveyard instead with stuff like Skill Drain. So those can stay, but just the normal trap card, lingering Shifter, that's it. Okay.
My moderator makes a wonderful point. Mr. D-Link Bestial says don't lose to it. The cards that D-Link doesn't get hit by. Okay.
Hey, they can call Synchro.
Make Link monsters.
that's the errata D barrier to also hit Link monsters. Okay. That's what we do.
Sonny, I'm down. I think that's a good place.
Keep it at three, errata.
No, wait, I have one more thing.
Okay. Last thing, and then we're reading picture names.
Okay, I have one more thing because we still have 10 more minutes left on the podcast. Because we didn't start at the start of the recording.
I don't agree with that.
We started at 10:22. It's 11:11.
Okay. Talk.
Okay. So I forgot what I was going to say. So we're going to go ahead and end it there, I guess.
One more thing.
Beautiful.
Well, there was a thing I wanted to mention, and I forgot what it was because Skyhawk cut me off.
My apologies. We did actually get one new card.
All Skyhawk's fault.
We did actually get one new card if we want to talk about that.
Yeah, talk about it while I try to remember what I was thinking.
Okay. So we got one new card. I don't know that it's that good, but it's part of the full armored package, and it is interesting. So this is a full armored Hope Raylancer, or because according to Kevin Tewart, Hope is a girl's name. In the TCG, it might be full armored Utopic Raylancer.
Keep in mind, the original YGArk page for this was wrong.
Oh, really?
They had to edit. Yeah, they put out an update on Twitter. I don't know if you saw that.
I did not. Did they fix it?
I don't know.
Okay.
Can the funny dragon not be a girl?
Hmm.
No, Hope is a girl's name.
Oh, okay.
So it had to be number 39 Utopia, not number 39 Hope.
Yeah, that was. Are you unaware of the Kevin Tewart reasons why
Hope rant?
Hope changed it to be Utopia?
No,
you don't know about this. Okay, I gotta
look. No, I don't know about this.
This is
he incredible. Doesn't know.
So Kevin.
No, Tewart, I have no. No idea.
So Kevin Tewart back in the day.
This is more important than that card, I'm going to be honest.
Kevin Tewart used to post on Poho all the time.
Pojo.
Is it Pojo?
Did you just call it Poho?
It's Pojo.
I always called it Poho. Is it Pojo?
Me and Sonny on the same page for once in the podcast. Somebody clip this.
Okay. Clip it.
Pojo, because I'm a Zoomer and I don't know how to pronounce old Yu-Gi-Oh things because you're both old. Okay. Old. So Kevin Tewart used to post all the time on Pojo. It's been ages, and my keyboard has stopped working at exactly this time. Awesome. But the two most famous posts from Kevin Tewart, I believe, are Clown Gas and the reason for Hope's translation. So he listed, so Kevin Hope's Tewart listed like 8 reasons why they switched from Hope to Utopia. The two best ones are, one, Hope is a girl's name with zero clarification, and two, Hope is a politically charged slogan that we saw in 2008 that could make a return in 2012, and we do not want our cards associated with politics. So they changed it to Utopia. Everybody just roasted him for it. My keyboard is not working, so I can't find the full list. For some reason, it's just not typing. But the other one is... oh, there we go. Now we're back. Kevin Tewart, Clown Gas.
Clown Gas?
Clown Gas. This is incredible. There we go. So...
the Yu-Gi-Oh! Lore runs so deep.
I'm going to open this image. Open image in your tab.
Wait a minute.
Okay, so Kevin Tewart... I'll send a link.
So wait, you can see this. Wait. Kevin Tewart has
Who is Kevin Tewart?
Okay. He has a Twitter. So
Kevin Tewart is...
He has a Twitter, lead. At Kevin Tewart. He's working on a crazy new anti-special summoning card. Our current version is pretty damn amazing. August 25th of 2009.
Yeah.
Is this
This is he's in Konami R&D. He's one of the head guys. And he was still is, but is much less public now, probably for reasons like this. Somebody asked, like, hey, I bought a box and I didn't get what I wanted. I spent a lot of money on this box. Why are singles prices so expensive? Like, it's like, but I can't get what I want when I buy the box. So Kevin Turret came in and said, this kind of nonsense is why so many of you are complaining about the price of cards. The best way to get cards in a TCG is to buy packs or boxes. But a bunch of people cry and moan and say, no, no, the best way to do it is to buy singles from people who buy boxes. Okay, then answer me this. If buying boxes is such a losing proposition, why do you think so many people are opening boxes and packs and selling you the cards? You think the people doing that are just massive idiots? Somebody's a massive idiot, but I don't think it's the person getting rich off of you. Stop being a victim, people. So somebody responded with, okay, well, maybe I'm just unlucky. And Kevin Tuart was like, I will give you a metaphor. singles prices are high because some people have deliberately shut themselves off from the primary method of getting cards. Imagine I have a gas station and all of my gas pumps have clown designs all over them, and I charge $20 a gallon for gas. Meanwhile, the regular gas station down the street is charging regular prices. But I've convinced a bunch of people that buying my clown gas is the only way to go. So they refuse to buy gas the regular way. Then they come to Pojo and ask why clown gas is so expensive. This is a Konami R&D rep.
Why is he less public? This is the best advertisement for wanting to work at Konami I've ever heard. I'm sending in an application tomorrow
for Konami NA.
If you're
If
you're unwilling to utilize the standard and less expensive method of getting cards, the same method that is being used by the people selling you singles to get their cards, then you're a captive market. And a captive market will be charged whatever price the captor wishes until they realize the folly of their captivity.
I'm buying a case right now.
So this is where I ask Kevin Tuart to explain the prices of Substitoad, because I cannot mass buy packs of ancient sets to get Edison cards.
All right, are we calling it there after explaining?
Yeah. Whatever I was going to say about the ban list isn't really that. All right, so let's go ahead and thank all of our wonderful patrons. So, of course, a huge thank you to always.
Hold on, let me brace myself.
Yeah, brace yourself.
I'm braced.
Okay. Always second, Time Rizard, Zyphorus, at the One Pelog. That name still doesn't make sense to me. Big Stinky, Ding Dongs, Hostess of the Yang Zing. Give me some more Dragussy, Konami.
Let's go!
HGH Cyber, John Leal, Mountain Man, Oatmeal Spaghetti, Owen Alvarado, Pistol Play Pendulums, Silver Hope, Skyhawk over the Beatles. This was a big debate we had. Who's better, Shinedown or the Beatles? The answer is the Beatles, but everyone else says Shinedown.
I explained this to Trish last week. The answer now actually is Skyhawk over the Beatles.
Oh, fair enough. Understanding and reading are two different
things. You missed another moment where I was on your side. I also said the Beatles.
Let's go! Virtually Saviors World, Visa, Star Frosting, These Nuts, Wind Up Carry, Zinfandel Meity, Aaron Gardner, Alexander Chan, Asami, Ashless Chaps, Atsuyo, Sympathy Silver Castle, Blackwing, Silver One, The Ascendant is the best Floodgate, Blue Eyes is best, Copium, Box Wind, Chubby Ninja, Come On and Get Your Game On, Dragon Maidenless Behavior, Ice Jade will win a YCS before Swoo Swoo. Still disagree with this. I'm about to Rika Glamour
Trigger for Frosty's
Light Nuts in Your Mouth. It's Level 4 Fire Warrior Gaming, Little Stinky, Llama Yama Cam Sarama, Maxi Pack, Old Man Red, Pin Code 143, and Sinful Spoils. Thank you all so much for your continued support of the podcast. And if you want the best content possible for all of August and September of 2009, be sure to follow at Kevin Tuart on Twitter. That account is still up, posting about special summoning in 2009. So thank you all so much for your continued support of the podcast. And of course, until next time, have a great week, everybody.
I have a card pun for y'all, but it's not good. What would you call?
They never are.
What would you? That's true. What would you call a reality TV show set in like the Yu-Gi-Oh lore?
A reality TV show set in the Yu-Gi-Oh lore.
There's got to be a way to like make this 90-day fiancé.
You could
Total Fire King Island drama something.
That's pretty good for improv. But I had World Legacy Survivor.
Ah. I like Total Drama with the Fire King Island. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.